I'm a little bit more nervous tonight than I usually am, which is somewhat, so I lose my Bible. Mostly it's for fear of maybe being misunderstood or just whatever the reason, but I hope that you really give this some thought tonight, because I think this is a serious thing that we need to think about. First of all, I want to make sure that you understand that this lesson is not about me. And please understand that. It's about God, and it's about our reaction to God when things go according to what we perceive as bad. It's about what I have recently learned about how to view the events of the world and make some spiritual sense, or at least have some peace. There is a bigger picture than we most of the time realize, and that's what I want you to focus on tonight. Remember, this is about God and not about me. But this happened to me, so it makes it easier, I suppose, to talk about it, because I know about it. I lived it. So this first part, that's the reason why I want to tell you this first part. I have talked to some of you about this, so it's not new to some of you. On December the 17th of 08, I was diagnosed with renal cell carcinoma. That's a large, probably an inch, between an inch and 2 inch, malignant tumor on my right kidney. This was found in a pretty unbelievable way. I applied for an insurance policy and had to take a physical. And through that physical, they discovered that I had this. Actually, the application for the insurance policy was denied, and I called to find out why. And they said, "Well, your PSA was too high," and which it wasn't. According to them, it was, but it really wasn't, according to a urologist. And they said I had 3 blood cells in a urine sample, which, again, for someone 64 years old at that time, is totally normal. But it was rejected. And I'm so glad that it was, because I took the information back to my doctor, and he said, "Well, I'm going to send you down, have a CAT scan," and that's when it was discovered. Within 1 year of that, I would have been dead, because I asked the doctor, I said, what happens? He said, "Well, this tumor doubles every year. Of course, when it starts out doubling from one cell, it takes it a long time to get nearly 2 inches in diameter. Probably about 64 years. But is that me? Well, Russ will fix it. Russ can fix anything. So in about a year, he said, the doctor said that this was the only time that they would have known that it was there, because there are no symptoms, and he said that at that point it would be too late, that it would have metastasized to my brain and lungs, and he said you'd be dead in 3 months because there's no symptoms. So on the 5th of January of 2009, Dr. Welton over at Allen removed about one quarter of my right kidney, and I've been cancer free ever since. With all the CAT scans and everything that they put you through. I didn't talk much publicly about this at the time that this was happening. People knew about it. I mean, obviously, people came to the hospital to visit, so people knew about it. And I know that there were many prayers went up about it. What I would have liked to have done is got up in front of the congregation and thanked everybody for their prayers and told them what a great thing God had done for me. And I do thank you for all those of you people that prayed for me. But let me go in another direction now. And I have talked to Ron, so don't start wondering that. He's okayed this. At about the same time that I was going through this, you know what else was happening. With Sharon. She was in the middle of a huge battle. And all of you know about that and walked that road with her and Ron. I had a problem on my hands. I prayed for Sharon. I can't tell you how many times to win that battle. In fact, I prayed for Sharon to have 15 more years. Reminds me, I think you told me about a prayer the other day for somebody that asked for 15 years. Was that you? Someone here did. I thought it was you. Oh, it was Levant. Anyway, someone here told me a story about the other day about, and I guess it was Levant, that somebody had prayed for 15 more years, and it happened. It happened. But it didn't happen this time. I was confident in my prayers. I also knew how Ron and all of you were praying for our sister, but the disease took her. I wanted to thank the church, but I couldn't. Because the outcome was different for somebody else. Can you see how I felt? I'm sure that you may have felt the same way. But the situation didn't happen to you, although it may have happened to some of you, at least a close situation. So I just said nothing. Because why it happened and why it didn't happen is a real problem in our faith sometimes. And that's why I want to talk about it. I called a trusted scholar and church leader that I've known for years, and I said, you know, have you ever faced a situation like this? He said, yep. 2 weeks ago, that I was in a church, and someone got up and did what I just described to you. They thanked the church. Said, you know, the Lord blessed me. I'm just so glad that He blessed me. And two couples got up and walked out. Why? Because it didn't happen for them. Now there's a misunderstanding on both parts here. There's a misunderstanding. And that's what I want to talk about. What we are saying, not intentionally, but what we're if we're not careful, And it's not that we shouldn't say these things. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that we shouldn't ask for prayers of the congregation. I'm not saying that. So please don't go there with this, because that's not what I'm saying. But if we're not careful, when we say, "The Lord answered my prayers," what does that say about the other person? Well, you didn't answer yours. Am I more spiritual than you? No. But that can be the perception, if you know what I mean. It can be a real hurtful thing to somebody that maybe needs to change the way they see this situation. This can happen in other areas. You know, it can happen. It can happen in somebody's business. Well, I prayed to start a business and have the right business model, and the business was very successful. And the guy sitting over here did the same thing and lost everything. Or the man or the woman that prayed for a Christian mate for a long time, got married, only to find out, whoa, this didn't turn out quite like I wanted it to, or like I prayed for it to. See, it can happen in all areas. It can and does happen in a lot of different situations. And again, I want to remind you, I'm not saying that we shouldn't ask for prayers. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that we have a spiritual problem here. We think maybe that we don't have enough faith. And when it doesn't happen, then we ask why. When we pray. Some people lose their faith over this. That's why it's a serious problem. Some people lose their faith. As a matter of fact, my daughter, Lisa, almost did. I say almost because she finally worked herself through it after 4 miscarriages, and all of them at about 17 weeks, and she didn't understand it. Couldn't understand it, why this would happen. And you know what the devil would say. You know what a door that was open for him. And he almost won. But he didn't. It's good to see Ron winning that battle. It really is. Ron. You know, I was trying to help Ron once, and he helped me a lot, because he said, "Well," he said, "people say that my prayers are not answered," but he said they were. They were answered. It just wasn't what I wanted, but they were answered. So God answers prayers. It doesn't always have to be what we want, but that's where sometimes we go wrong. We ask why, and there is no answer. The problem is how we view the spiritual realm in contrast with the physical world. That's where the problem comes in. But of course, that's always a problem with us Christians, is the physical realm versus the spiritual. Let's open our Bibles for a few minutes and see what some people thought of this. Open your Bibles first to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Jesus is about to be crucified on the cross. He knows what's coming. And yet, listen to what he says, verse 39. And he went a little beyond them, fell down on his face and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt." Now, was Jesus thinking about how painful it was going to be to die, or was he thinking about what God's will was on this earth? What do you think? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? That's what he said. You know, let this cup pass from me, but not because I want, but whatever your will is, that's what I want. That's a spiritual view getting ready to face some real tough physical earthly circumstances. That's a spiritual view. Now let's look over at John chapter 17. Again, in John chapter 17, this is Jesus' prayer again, right before, right after this, they come and Judas betrays him and all of that. So this is right before that happened. And again, Jesus is in prayer. Look at verses in John 17, verses 1 through 5. Now, as we look at this, look at it from a heavenly, from a spiritual, heavenly situation instead of what a physical man is going to face. Try to think of it that way. These things Jesus spoke, and uplifting his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, this hour, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee." Is the Son worrying about himself? He says, you need to be glorified. That's what needs to happen. Even as thou hast... Now this is New American Standard, and I don't know about all of your Bibles, but in New American Standard, when they translated a prayer, they still used the King James language. So that's why the "thees" and the "thous." They did that in all prayers in the New American Standard Translation. So verse 2, "Even as thou hast gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life." He's talking about heavenly things. "And this is eternal life, that they may know thee." That they may know God, and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorify thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I have had thee had with thee before the world was. It's all spiritual, heavenly things that Jesus is thinking about. He's not thinking about how painful this cross is going to be. He's not thinking about that at all. How difficult it's going to be to stand there and watch these people that he loves and that he's going to die for talk about him the way they did and curse at him and scream at him and everything else. He's not worried about that. He's worried about heavenly things. Look on down to verse. Just look at verse 14. I have given them thy word. What are they going to use that for? For spiritual things. Verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Talking about spiritual things. Again. One chapter over in chapter 18, verse 11. This is after they had come and Judas had betrayed him, and Peter got upset and cut off Malchus's ear there in verse 10 with his sword. And Jesus therefore said to Peter, "Put the sword in the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" Are you trying to stop this from happening, Peter? You don't understand. What was it that Peter didn't understand? Was it that he didn't understand that they were going to kill Jesus? No, that wasn't what he didn't understand. He didn't understand the spiritual implications of what was going on here. If he had, he would have been glorifying God and praising God and thanking Jesus for doing this, shedding his blood, because through that, all mankind, including himself, would be saved. That's where his mind should have been. But he was going to protect him with his sword. And Jesus said, "No, put that thing away." What was Job's answer to his wife when his wife said, "Curse God and die"? Shall we not accept the bad things along with the good? We've accepted all these good things that he's given us. Should we not accept the bad things too? Now that takes a spiritual mind to do that. A very spiritual mind. This is kingdom business. God's answers. Here's the bottom line. God's answers are always good and holy. We may not think they are. We might say, "God, why did this happen to me?" And don't get me wrong. I've done that too. More times than I wish. "Why didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that?" We just need to have a mindset and think on kingdom work and not our own. When an event like this happens, we need to ask, how can this event be used to further the kingdom of God? It doesn't matter whether the answers of our prayer was yes or no. It matters how we take that incident that happened and use it to to expand the kingdom of God here on this earth. That's what we need to be thinking about. It hurts like everything in a lot of situations. Right? It hurts like everything. But we need to be asking, how can we use this event to further the kingdom of God? Now, in my situation, that answer turned out, as far as I'm concerned, pretty good. So the question is, Lord, with that kind of blessings, how in the world can I use the rest of my life in a better way than I have the first part of it to further the kingdom of God? And conversely, if it goes the other way, how can I use this to further the kingdom of God? One situation, if you remember when Brother Charles Spear was up here teaching the marriage seminar, he preached a lesson and used this example, the one he preached on prayer. You can go, we have it on DVD, you can listen to it. He used the example. Young missionary and his wife, overseas, converting people, right and left, teaching the gospel. All of a sudden, she's got cancer. Come home. Remember his story? Comes home. Goes through treatment. Dies. And, you know, Lord, couldn't you just lift them over there? Let them convert people? You know, I'm sure that question was asked. Another missionary couple. Man and his wife. The guy gets cancer, comes home, goes through treatment. All the treatment, cures the cancer, back preaching the gospel. Everything's hunky-dory. The lady that died, how can they use that to further the kingdom of God? If you remember Brother Charles' lesson, he said, because of the way the church responded to these people, because of the way they treated them and the things that they did for them and the prayers that were offered for them, her parents were converted to the Lord. Was that worth it? Well, you ask God. So there's just one example of making sure that we look at something like this from a kingdom spiritual standpoint instead of ourselves. Hurt as it may do and will. Again, God's answers are always good and holy. No matter whether it hurts me or not, God is good and He's holy and He will always be that way. And no matter how much I suffer or anyone else suffers, He will still be good and holy. Situations like this require a lot of trust on our part as Christians. A lot of trust and a lot of faith. So the big picture, if we have this view, this attitude that I have just described, it will affect not just situations like this. Not just the fact that somebody gets sick and dies or somebody gets sick and gets well. It won't just happen that. we will no longer ask, should I get up this morning and go to church or not? No longer will we ask, well, I know so-and-so that might be interested in studying the Bible, but I just don't have time. We won't ask questions like that. If our minds are tuned in a spiritual manner, then whatever we have, whether it's a dollar or a hundred, will be used to the glory of God. And we won't have to ask, well, should I give to this or that? Or when somebody requests for a contribution to help somebody, we won't even wonder about it. You see, having this kind of attitude will change the way you look at everything, because everything else, all of a sudden, takes a back seat. And what else you would rather do than to come and encourage other Christians, study the Bible, worship together, visit people in their homes, encourage people in their homes, study with people, be mentors for people, men and women, whatever, then it won't become a question of whether I have time or not. It won't become a question of whether I should or not, or whether I should do this or not. It'll be the only question will be, well, when can we do this? Now, I wish we had another hour to. I know you don't, but I would just like to sit sometime and just discuss this with you and you know, get your feelings on this, because this is an area where we all struggle. This is not just me standing up here saying something because I have it all together now here. Believe me, I don't, because as I said when I started, I really struggled with this. Really struggled. And still struggle some. So it's not something that you just like that. But as we worship together, as we work together to make Cedar Lou something that glorifies God, as Jesus said when he was getting ready to go to the cross. Glorifies God. Just keep that in mind as you make your decisions. And help me as I make mine to do the things that we need to do. Be the places we need to be. See the people we need to see. Encourage one another. We never know when the opportunity that we're not together, that it may be to encourage somebody to serve God. Now, I hope that there was no. I know that I'm not the greatest at expressing feelings or expressing sometimes what's in my brain. Sometimes it's hard to get it out in words that people can use. So if there's anything you question about this, and anywhere you think that I need to change my way of thinking on it. Please, let's sit down and talk about it. Because it's a serious thing. And it's a thing that I think we, myself, and that's the reason why I got started on it, can do this a whole lot better than I have in the past. With a kingdom attitude. If anyone would like to say anything tonight or respond to anything and ask for prayers or whatever, we'd just like for you to do that, and we'll sing a song of encouragement and hope that you have been encouraged, and hope that you've been given something to really think about. Thank you, Jay. Okay.